Well, I don't know about you, but I have thoroughly enjoyed this tough question sermon series that we've been in. It's been fun to work through these questions. It's been engaging to dive into God's Word and to seek His wisdom on many of these issues. And sad to say, actually, this is the last one I'll be doing of this sermon series. Next week, we have Pastor Scott Roth here with us to do the last message of the sermon series, as many of us will be out at Camp Swatara, myself included. But this is the last one for this one, and it's fascinating, right? Because sometimes we see the questions, and we think we already know where our answer is going to be. And so I pretty much knew where my answer was supposed to be several weeks ago. And then I started reading God's Word more intently and studying what He had to say about it more carefully, and found that where I ended up isn't quite where I thought I was. I ended up slightly at a different place. And that's the amazing thing about bringing these questions to God's Word with an open mind and humility and really seeking, God, what do you say about this issue before us? Now, this morning's sermon fits really well with last week's sermon about prayer that Pastor Jerry walked us through. And he even mentioned that we're going to start the new year, 2019, off with a whole sermon series on prayer to really dive into what prayer is and all of that. So today we're not going to actually talk about prayer. We're going to talk about the underlying attitudes and beliefs that we can bring to our prayer. See, prayer is, it's vulnerable, it's revealing, especially if you're the one praying out loud, because you got a whole bunch of ears listening to what it is that you're saying. It's vulnerable because it, right, it verbalizes our needs, our wants, our desires. But more than that, in verbalizing our needs, our wants and desires, maybe even responses and situations, it reveals in deep and real ways what we actually believe, right? What actually drives us. So, for example, if someone you knew, a friend, a relative, your spouse, your kids, your parents, if they get sick, how do we usually pray for them? Yeah, we say, God, help them not be sick anymore. Heal them. Bring them back to health. If someone you know loses their job, what do we normally pray? God, we need them to find a job. We need you to provide a job for this family. If our kids go to college, what do we normally pray for them as they go off to college? Lord, help them keep their head on straight. Help them to do well. Help them to succeed. Help them to do what they need so that when they graduate, they can have a great job. And right, these are the kinds of prayers that we know well. If suffering comes to someone we know, we typically, Lord, pray for relief. Right? Bring relief to this situation. And we go on missions trip. Probably the number one prayer I've ever heard on a missions trip is, Lord, and it's kind of tied for these three, Lord, let them be safe, keep them secure, and help them to have a fun, good time all the way on this missions trip. And I am not suggesting that we stop praying these prayers. Right? Keep praying these prayers. All I'm simply suggesting is, what does this all really reveal about what we truly believe? About the purpose for prayer, about the end goal that God might have for us. Probably a lot more than we can get in this morning. But if you notice the sermon title in the bulletin this morning, the question is, does God want us to be happy? Right? Does God want us to be happy? Because in the realm of happiness, it seems that our prayers reveal to us that we believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that God wants us to be happy. So if someone's sick, we pray for health. If someone loses a job, we pray for another one. If someone's suffering, we pray for relief. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not really happy when I have a sore throat. My family can attest to it. I'm basically next to death when I get a cold. Not happy. Most men in this room know what that's like, to be close to death because of a cold. Amen. Hits us harder. But seriously, when we're happy, right, we ask God, we're thankful, right? We say, God, thank you for all these blessings. When we're not happy, we ask Him to fix things so we can be happy. But the question again is, does God want us to be happy? Is happiness really His goal? Maybe is another way to put that. Now, maybe the answer seems obvious. We live in a culture where people say things like, well, at least they're happy. as if happiness is the goal. So it doesn't matter what's going on in life. Well, at least they're happy. Right? They might be in total debt. They might have their life totally messed up and out of whack and every, but hey, at least they're happy. That's a phrase that maybe you've used. I know I've used. I've heard others use it in a major hit song for months. Still one that I'll play loud at the house. And anyone else hear that? All right, good. A hit song that I still like, and it gets me feeling happy. The song Happy. I ever saw the Minion movie with and it's in it. And this lyric, though, if you listen to the song and you kind of judge what they're saying, he says, clap along if you feel that happiness is the truth. I mean, you never thought about it more than just, hey, it's a fun song, and you watch the video and everyone's dancing and clapping along, and it's really is a fun, it's a fun song, right? But in the midst of that is this lyric, happiness is the truth. Clap along if you feel that happiness is the truth. So our culture certainly makes happiness the goal, certainly makes happiness the purpose, certainly makes happiness the thing we're to seek after. And we saw our prayer language seems to indicate that happiness is really the Christian's desire as well. Because many of our prayers are very happy-centric or happy-related. And yet, in response to this, there's been this push within the Christian world with books coming out recently with a phrase something like, God wants us to be holy, not happy. Or God is interested in making us holy, not happy. And I maybe read those books. Some of my favorite books happen to use that as some of their thinking. So then the question really is he interested in our holiness or our happiness? And to throw this into the mix, are the two mutually exclusive? As if it's one or the other. Are we wise to pit these two things against each other? Happiness or holiness? I think we know the reaction when we overpress holiness. And then people think that Christianity is just a whole religion of what you can't do and you can't have fun and you got to just go through life miserable because of all the things that God says, thou shalt not. Right? And yet, so which one is it? And so we turn to God's word, right, to answer this question. Is this God's goal? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be all over the place today, actually in three different locations, Proverbs 3, Jeremiah 2, and Luke 12, in that order. So if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, that's where we're going to start. Proverbs chapter 3, we're then going to move to Jeremiah 2, and then we're going to end in Luke 12. If you don't have a Bible, there are blue ones in the seats in front of you. We're on page 671 if you use one of those. And if you don't own one, keep that and make it yours so you can keep diving into God's word on your own. But we're going to see, what does Proverbs 3 have to say? What does Jeremiah 2 have to say? And what does Luke 12 have to say? And what does it mean for us as Christians living in 2018? So we'll start with Proverbs. And here's what it says, beginning in verse 13. Going on to verse 18. It says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver and her profit better than gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast are called blessed. I'm going to pause there for a moment before we jump to Jeremiah or to Luke. And what do we hear from Proverbs? Well, according to Proverbs, blessed or happy, depending on what version you're holding, it's translated both ways, blessed, happy, is the man who finds wisdom. Now, this Hebrew word that's translated as blessed or happy or sometimes favored has this connotation of having prosperity bestowed on you. Right, having prosperity bestowed on you. So blessed, happy, favored, state of prosperity being bestowed on you. It's fall. I'm thinking Thanksgiving. Right? This is how I think of this word, blessed or happy. And so just picture the scene. You're with your family gathering. You've just finished your as much as you could take of the turkey and the mashed potatoes and whatever other fixings you like to go along with it. And now you've settled down in a warm room on a nice, comfortable couch. And maybe there's a football game going on. you're blessed. Right? That is a picture of just peace. For me anyway, maybe you're like, that's the worst nightmare I could ever come up with. But a belly full of turkey and a nice cushion is always a good thing on Thanksgiving. But that's kind of what this word means. So yeah, it says blessed, but it also has this connotation of happy. Well, who's happy, who's blessed? Well, those who seek wisdom or find wisdom. Why? Well, because it says wisdom is more profitable than silver, better than money. Right? Some people seek happiness and contentment and blessedness by trying to accrue tons of wealth for themselves. This guy here is saying, well, wait, wisdom's better. It's more profitable than whatever money you can find. It's more precious than whatever jewels you can stockpile. In fact, wisdom's ways are pleasant and wisdom's paths are peaceful. Right? It's kind of the idea of living the good life, hitting that place where you can just kick your feet up and relax. Pleasant ways, peaceful paths, beyond comparison to anything we desire. Right? That's the one that really struck out at me when I was reading this. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. We desire a lot of things. Right? And when we seek to fill those desires, we do it in a lot of different ways. And yet the author of Proverbs right here is making it very clear there's one way and one way only to really fill your desires. And it's not through money. It's not through fame. It's not through power. It's not through drugs. It's not through sex. It's not through any of these things that the world promotes. Do these things and you'll be happy. It's no, find wisdom. Find wisdom. Happy is the one who finds and holds on to wisdom, right? So it starts in 13 by finding it. It ends in 18, this little section, with holding it, clutching it, never letting it go. Now, this isn't a slam dunk that God wants us to be happy. I get that. But it should be noted that Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Right? That's what it's known as, the book of wisdom. And in this book, we're told over and over again, commanded even, to get wisdom, to clutch wisdom. The one who has wisdom has peace, has all their desires fulfilled, and is happy. That's what Proverbs tells us. Clutch wisdom. Why? Because happy is the one who has it. Blessed is the one who has it. So was Pharrell right when he sang that happiness is the truth? In that great hit song, Happy? Well, not so fast. We got to turn to Jeremiah 2 to see what it says here. Now, Jeremiah, if you flip to Jeremiah a couple books to the right, Jeremiah comes in right before the kingdom's about to be totally exiled. Right? That's who he's preaching to, a people who think they're safe, but their security is a lot more transient than they believe it to be. Okay, and he comes in and has some pretty strong words for God's people. But we're going to turn into chapter 2, verses 4 to 13. Just hear these words. Because if there's anyone that we as America really walk along with in the Old Testament, it's God's people of Israel. And I'm not saying we're the new Israel. I'm saying we just haven't learned a whole lot from what Israel walked. We seem to walk the same path a lot. So listen to what these words say. Verses 4 to 13. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the clans of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through, where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruit and its good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, I still contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your children's children I will contend. For cross to the coast of Cyprus and see, or send a Kedar and examine with care. See if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So what's God saying through the prophet Jeremiah here? Well, in a nutshell, in our language, sorry, Pharrell, but happiness is not the truth. Right? Happiness is not the truth. The people of Israel apparently thought it was, and so they started seeking after happiness as if happiness was the goal. But where did that lead them? Well, ultimately, if you read through the rest of Jeremiah, it leads to them being taken away in chains and a lot of them being massacred as they're exiled to Babylon. Right? That's where seeking happiness for happiness' sake will lead us. They traded the fountain of living water for their own cistern. Anyone know what a cistern is? Okay, so for those who don't, a cistern is basically a giant pit that was more or less stone or concrete, and it would collect all the water. And so you'd gather all your water, go there, and that's where you got your water to drink from. Right? Large cisterns would be what held water. And so what he's saying is, not only did you turn from the fountain of living water, right? We know what a fountain is. It's kind of like our version of a well. It's a place that constantly gives good source of water, refreshing water. The source is continual. He's saying you turn from that fountain of living water, which is cool and can refresh and can heal and can bring all the things that you ever could need, and you turn to your own man-made ideas of what this should be and filled it with your own kinds of water. As if that wasn't bad enough, your cisterns are cracked. They can't even hold water. It's a trap that keeps you focused and keeps you stuck. Right? And so we think about our own lives. Where are we guilty of doing these same things, seeking after happiness, because we think that happiness is really the end goal? And it can happen like that. It happened in your mind. All of a sudden, you're thinking, oh, I should do this. I should go on this missions trip. And then all of a sudden, your mind goes in all kinds of crazy things like, oh, but what if all this glorious stuff happens? And maybe I'll be interviewed by CNN, and maybe I'll get a name for myself. And suddenly, a good thing suddenly becomes an idol for us. Right? And maybe it's not even like that. Maybe it's just simply you go off to college and you think, oh, this is going to be great. Only when you're at college, you're like, oh, well, I could go to class or I could go to that party. Oh, there are no parents around. That party sounds a lot more fun than studying for this econ midterm, macroeconomics. Who here likes macroeconomics? Yeah, one person. The MBA in the room. Right, none of us like macroeconomics. It's like a no-brainer. Well, of course I'm going to, because that's what the world tells us, because it's you'll be happier if you go to this. Watch football. Who knows why? Yesterday, if you're watching football, you're from this area, you're probably rooting for Penn State, and so you didn't end happy last night. Watching the Eagles lately, you're not ending happy very often. Oh, the Thursday night was all right, but the Giants, I mean, really, they better have won that game. Right? But the world says do all these things that'll lead to happiness. I'm kind of looking at a lot of things going, well, it makes me sort of happy. But really, in the long run, is it really making me and helping me stay happy or blessed or whatever word you want to use? I'm using happy pretty generally because we as a country use happy pretty generally. And so maybe someone's like, oh, yeah, but the Bible doesn't really use the word happy. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't very often. But the way we use the word happy is very much the way that Hebrews and Greeks used words like blessed. We just don't say it that way because we have a very lazy language. So we love everything. Everything makes us happy. We don't really use concise words, right? So please don't think that I'm talking straight happiness as just this fleeting emotion of, oh, I feel good. No, happiness is what we seek, right? The pursuit of happiness. Our whole country is built on this foundation. Life, liberty, justice, and the pursuit of, right, happiness. The American dream. We all know what that means. So God seems interested in our happiness, but if it's not the goal, then what is it, right? We just saw in Jeremiah 2, he says, it's not the goal. When you go for it, when that's your goal and that's what you're seeking after, it leads us to all kinds of places we don't want to go. And typically, it's places we never would have dreamed or imagined before we ever stepped into that situation. Only years later, we look back and going, I never should have walked down this path. Just like a bunch of these Jewish people would have been thinking as they're being marched off to Babylon in exile, going, what did we do? Why did we think this possibly was what God wanted for us? So then where does happiness fit in? Because we already saw it does in Proverbs. How do the two relate? How do the two connect? Well, for that, turn to Luke 12 with me, and let's hear from the mouth of Jesus himself, God in the flesh, to see what he says about this. Luke 12, 27 to 32. And in all these situations, obviously, we don't have time to do it this morning. Go back and read more of Jeremiah. Go back and read more of Proverbs. Read more of Luke than we're going to dive into. Make sure I'm not just plucking nice-sounding verses and making a good-sounding theology, right? We want to make sure this is consistent throughout all of Scripture, which is why I attempted to go wisdom, prophet, and New Testament to show that this isn't just a one-time verse. It's from cover to cover, right? But we always want to double-check and read the context. But here's what's going on in Luke. Jesus is talking to a group of people again, and so we pick up in the middle of what he's saying, starting in verse 27. And here's what he says. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, if you have little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what's he saying to us here? Verse 31 hits it in a nutshell. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. All right, seek his kingdom, not happiness. Seek his kingdom, his ways. Follow his will. Which the Lord says elsewhere, be holy as I am holy. So as I said earlier, holiness gets a bad rap. It really does. We think that holiness just means we can't have fun. Holiness means we're sticks in the mud. And use whatever other phrase you might think of. But most of us don't think as it's a jolly good time to walk around being holy. Right? We think it means we just can't do anything good or fun. That's not true. Jesus himself said he came to give us life and to give it abundantly. Right? He says, seek my will. Seek his kingdom. And these things will be added to you. What things? Well, all the things that the world seeks after, the food, the security, the prosperity, the clothing, and not necessarily all or in what we think of as being prosperous. But he is saying, look at the lilies. They don't worry. I know it's kind of weird to think of a flower worrying, and I think he's doing that on purpose, saying as ridiculous as it is to think about a flower worrying is how silly it is for my people to seek after things which can never make us happy, which can never truly make us blessed. See, holiness then is the goal, but in an interesting twist, it's not that it's God wants us to be holy, not happy, or God cares to make us holy, not happy. No, what ends up revealing through his word is, if you seek holiness, holiness then, that seeking holiness is the doorway which leads to true happiness. Right? Seeking holiness leads to true happiness. So God does want us to be happy, but he also knows we'll only get there as we become holy. Right? The two are connected. So if you want to be happy, I want to be happy. I want you to be happy. The real question is, how do you become holy? And that's the real question we need to wrestle through and think through. How do we become holy? And it's not by trying harder. It's works-based righteousness. It's not by doing more. It's not by working really hard to be good. If you go back to Proverbs, Proverbs tells us, right, what does it say? It says, seek wisdom. Find wisdom. Hold on to wisdom. Proverbs goes on to say in verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Now, if you jump to Colossians, you'll see that it was by Christ and through Christ that God created the earth. So if you put the two together, Proverbs with Colossians, what does that make Jesus? It makes him wisdom in the flesh. Right? It means that when Proverbs tells us to seek wisdom, even if the author didn't realize this, doesn't matter, the Holy Spirit knew what was coming. When he says seek wisdom in 2018, that doesn't just mean seek intellectual and be as smart as you can be and so study up on all the books and get your doctorate degree. What it means when it says seek wisdom is seek Jesus. Because Jesus is wisdom. In fact, there's no wisdom outside of Jesus. Because Jesus founded wisdom. See, we become holy not by doing anything we do, but by seeking the one who went to the cross. The one who died and was buried and 3 days later rose again. So seek him, follow him, trust him. And then when you do, he gives us the Holy Spirit as his followers to transform us, to make us holy, thus opening the door for true happiness. So are you seeking happiness or holiness this morning? Because what we seek does matter. If we seek happiness, it will lead us into a lot of places, but it won't be happiness. I think back to when I was first driving, and I sought happiness with driving. And so my version of happiness while driving is 80 or higher anywhere. I got to know these roads really well. But that was it. So you get in a car seeking happiness in an area that has lots of other people, people riding bikes, people running, people walking their dogs, and you're kind of like, why would you think this is a good place to walk your dog? I'm trying to go 80 here. And they're like, don't you see the speed limits? And I say, yeah, but I'm trying to be happy here, and this is how I become happy. So what it led to was a lot of frustration. Because there's other people on the road, most of which don't want to go 80 on back roads. Right? But I did, and so I'm not happy. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. Now I got road rage building up inside of me. Or it leads to danger. Right? Other cars, other bikers, other runners, animals. There's enough deer in the area that should have been a hint to me that maybe this isn't the place to go fast. But it didn't matter to me. I was seeking happiness, and this was the way that I fulfilled it. It led to unrest as a driver. Really, it was stressful because you're constantly looking out for the cops. So you can quickly slam your brakes on and drive by them as if you're a law-abiding citizen. I was not a happy driver. I was a miserable driver. I just fell for the lie that driving could make me happy. And there were glimpses of it for sure. Racing friends down streets. I used to click my lights off at night so I knew if I could take a turn a certain way or not, if another car was coming. My mom's like, what if a driver the other way does that? Well, I guess we'll have a pretty crazy impact. But it didn't matter because I was seeking happiness. And this is just the example of driving. The world offers many other way more dangerous versions of seeking happiness that never actually fulfill. I listed some of them earlier. So seek happiness in your careers. So seek happiness in the name you can make for yourself. Seek happiness by by taking a whole bunch of selfies and having your own YouTube channel and doing all kinds of things online so that people put a like for you. And so it doesn't matter what I have to wear or what I have to do or what I have to act like. It's going to make me happy. Only we know that's not true. All you have to do is look at the people who supposedly have it all. And they're about as miserable as anyone. Why? Because happiness, if we seek for happiness itself, will always elude us. But if we seek holiness, you will find happiness. So what are you seeking with your time? Using your time to seek happiness or seek holiness? We're using our money to seek happiness or to seek holiness? What about with your mind and your imagination? Are you using that to seek happiness or to seek holiness? When you're all by yourself, what are we doing? Seeking happiness or seeking holiness? Some of us have been searching all of our lives for true happiness. But it's a journey that will lead us many places, one of which is not happiness. So repent. Right, that's what the Bible tells us to do when we're going a wrong direction. Repent. Stop. Turn around. Go back to the way we're called to live. Turn from the dead end and seek holiness, which is found only by following Jesus. He chose death so that he could give us life, and not just any life, life abundant. Maybe some here today want to follow Jesus. You go, I want this. Right? And this isn't just a one-time prayer. It's I want to follow him with my life. I want to submit to Jesus. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord. Maybe some among us want to be baptized. We're around this morning, Jerry and I. If you're feeling that urge to say, yes, I'm ready to commit my life to follow Jesus, I'll get in that creek with you in October or November. We'll baptize the good old-fashioned Anabaptist way. They used to break ice to baptize. It wasn't so much baptism by fire then. It was baptism by ice. But, you know, we'll do it. Maybe you want to be a part of that, or you want to walk in the path of holiness. We welcome you on that path to walk with you. Maybe some of us, we have chosen to follow, but man, we've really been seeking happiness lately. We've been using everything we have to seek after something that we can never get on our own. We've fallen for that bait and switch that Satan often loves to use. Repent. Right? Change. Turn back. Seek holiness again. And see how Jesus brings restoration and healing back into your life. Seek Jesus. Seek holiness, and you'll find what your heart has always longed for. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, which shows us that, God, you're not opposed to happiness. In fact, you want us to find happiness, but you know the only way to do that is to find it in you. So pray for all of us here this morning that we would use everything you've given us, not to seek happiness, not to seek any benefit in and of itself, but to use all these areas to seek you more, to seek holiness more. And as we do, Lord, we trust that we will be more blessed, more happy, more full of joy than we could ever hope for. God be glorified in us and through us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.